But you know, as we look at Genesis chapter 10, we realize that the book of Genesis isn't actually a book about the origins just of the Hebrew people. It is a book about the origins of all people. Come with me to Genesis 10 verse 32. It says this: "These are the clans of the sons of Noah, according to their genealogies in their nations, and from these the nations spread abroad on the earth after the flood." We're picking up a story from Genesis 9. We know that after the flood, Noah has three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And this is a story of how the three sons of Noah spread across all the earth. So friends, as you and I come to Genesis chapter 10, listen carefully to me. This is your story. This is your heritage. This is your origin. This is where you came from. And this is great value for you as you embrace this heritage, as you embrace this culture, as you embrace who God has made you to be. So we're going to consider this text under three headings. Three realities of our origins, the origins of nations. Firstly, our common humanity. Secondly, our common enmity. And thirdly, our common opportunity. Let's look at our common humanity. Now Genesis 10, as we mentioned, traces descendants of Noah over a very, very long period of time. Genesis 10 verse 2 and 5 traces the descendants of Japheth. Verses 6 to 20, the descendants of Ham. And verses 21 to 31, the descendants of Shem. And they spread out across a vast geographical area. Japheth's descendants, they spread north and west and become founders of the Greek Scythian tribes. Ham's descendants, they moved eastward and they settled in the area that became Egypt and Canaan. Shem's descendants, they settled in the eastern lands and in the Persian Gulf. And from these places, they spread out further, and verse 32 tells us, the nations spread abroad on all the earth. Now, do you notice how each section ends? Come with me to Genesis 10:5. Regarding the spread of the sons of Japheth, it says this. It concludes this way: "From these, the coastland peoples spread in their lands, with each his own language, by their clans and their nations." Come with me to Genesis 10:20. "These are the sons of Ham, by their clans, languages, lands, and nations." Genesis 10:31. "These are the sons of Shem, by their clans, their languages, their lands, and their nations." Look at the repeated words. Their lands, the place they resided. Their languages, their linguistic identity. Their clans, their families, and their nations. These spread out, and all of these have a common descendant, Noah. And if you trace it back further, they have a common ancestor by the name of Adam. And what this is telling you and I, what this is telling the Jewish people is this: that we all share a common humanity. Whether you're red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, or violet, whatever color your skin is, this text is telling us that we share a common humanity with everyone on earth. Now notice something. Verse 6 to 20, you have the descendants of Ham, and includes nations like these: Egypt, Canaan, Assyria, and Babylon. Now if you were a Hebrew person, you would read this and your eyes would open. Why? Because these are the traditional enemies of the people of Israel. Egypt, who enslaved the people of Israel for 400 years. Canaan, Assyria, and Babylon, who came and conquered them and took them away from their own lands. These are the common enemies of the Hebrew people. And what Moses, the writer of Genesis, is telling the Hebrew people is this: your enemy was your cousin. Your enemies, your most vile enemies, are actually your cousins. Those that fight against you, those that oppress you, are actually your cousins, because we all share a common humanity. Think about it. Are there particular people that you despise or that you don't think too highly of? Is there a particular cultural or ethnic pride in you? God is saying to you through these passages that these people that you despise, these people that you see no up, these people are your cousins. These people share with you a common humanity. Acts chapter 17 verse 26 in the New Testament says this, "And he, God, made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth." Dr. David Atkinson, he's a Genesis commentator, he puts it this way, all human people, as if there are non-human people, but anyway, we'll just give it to him. All human people, even of different national and cultural identities, are of the same origin, have the same dignity, and belong in the same world. Friends, what unites us should be far greater than what divides us. The Bible presents to us, every single one of us, whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, whether you're religious or secular, the Bible gives to us a vision and a picture of a common humanity. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter what kind of food you like to eat. If they cut you and there's red blood, you share a common humanity. You share a common ancestor in Noah, and you share a common ancestor in Adam. So why is it then? Why is it if we have so much in common that we do divide, that we do fight? We fight along national lines, cultural lines, social lines, denominational lines. Why do we fight so much if we have a common humanity? What is the source of all this animosity? Well, we move on to the point, second point. We have a common enmity. Notice in verse 8 and 9 that one of Ham's descendants gets special mention. His name is Nimrod. Look at verse 8. Who was Nimrod? He was a fearsome warrior and a hunter, who will eventually, in Genesis 11, be associated with the building of the Tower of Babel. Now we'll see next week, and all of you are going to come back next week to listen to next week. We'll see next week that this tower was an act of outright defiance against God. This was a people that says, we know better, we will build this tower, we will declare a name for ourselves. And the ancestors and the descendants of Nimrod were associated with building the Tower of Babel. But yet he says here in Genesis 10 verse 9, that he was a mighty warrior before the Lord. How can that be? You see, the word before the Lord can also be translated against the Lord, or in defiance of the Lord. So this man, the mighty warrior, Ham's descendants, this man was hostile against the Lord, and therefore his descendants were hostile against the Lord. Now you'll say, of course, yes, I know my Bible. These are the descendants of Ham. I remember what Ham did in Genesis 10 verse 18 to 27. He mocked his father's nakedness, and because of that, he gets a curse on his whole ancestral line. So of course, no surprise here. Nimrod is against the Lord. He's hostile against God. He's at enmity with God. This is Ham's line. It's a cursed line because of what Ham did. Surely that's the case. But surely not Shem. Surely not Japheth. They received the blessing of God in Genesis 10, 18 to 27. Let's look at the line of Shem then. Genesis 10, 26. Now these are the Shemites, the descendants of Shem. Now did you know that this is the word from which we get the word Semite? The anti-Semitic, right? The Semitic people, the Jewish people, draw their lineage and draw their words, draw their roots back to Shem. The Shemites are the Semites. The Jewish people draw their lineage back to Shem. These are the people of God. And notice, there is one particular descendant of Shem that gets particularly highlighted. Shem's great-grandson, and his name is Eber. Come with me to Genesis 10:21. To Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber. Now why is Eber mentioned here? He's actually three generations away, but he is mentioned at the very top of the genealogy. This is the author highlighting for us Keep your eyes on Eber. There's something special and distinct and different about Eber. There is a story to be told about Eber. Genesis 10:24. Arpachshad fathered Shelah, and Shelah fathered Eber. And Genesis 10:25. To Eber were born two sons, Peleg and Joktan. So what's so special about Eber to warrant so many mentions? What's so special about him? Well, firstly, the Hebrew word Eber is the root from which we get the word Hebrew. The Hebrew word Eber is the root from which we get the word Hebrew. So what we have here again is an ancestor of the Jewish or Hebrew people. You have the Shem, the line of Shem, and the line of Eber. So this is highlighting for us, you, people of God, readers of the first five books of the Bible, this is your ancestor. This is your ancestor. This is your great-great-grandfather. But notice also in verse 25 that he had two sons. And when did he have two sons? The verse there says, when the earth was divided. When the earth was at enmity. You see, even this blessed line, I know it's not the line of Ham, it's the line of Shem. Even this blessed line saw enmity and division. How? Eber had two sons, Peleg and Joktan. And their descendants would be divided from one another. Doesn't this sound like a TVB Cantonese serial? Their descendants would be divided from one another. Peleg's line stops abruptly here. Do you notice that? No mention of his descendants. But Joktan's line is traced for another 13 generations. And in verse 30 it says that the territory in which they lived extended from Mesha in the direction of Sephar to the hill country of the east. Now why is this significant? Look at Genesis 11:2, which is the beginning of the commentary of the building of the Tower of Babel. Who was involved in the building of the Tower of Babel? It says here in Genesis 11 verse 2, as people migrated from the east, they settled, and in verse 3 they said to one another, come, let us make bricks, and let's build this tower in defiance of Almighty God. They came from the east, they came as descendants of Eber, and of Joktan, and of Shem. So not only do you have the Hamites, the cursed line, building the Tower of Babel, the descendants of Ham and the descendants of Shem through Eber and Joktan got together and decided to build a tower in defiance of Almighty God. So not just the line of Ham, but the line of Shem. Not just the cursed line, but the blessed line, who they all share a common humanity, but they also share a common enmity, not just against one another, but against Almighty God. They stood in defiance of Him, and they deserve the curse and judgment of God. Why? Why is it that both the cursed line and the blessed line, why is it that both the Hamites and the Shemites both stood at enmity against God? Recall with me Genesis 8:20. Even after the flood, it says, the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. And we recall that's a quotation from Genesis chapter 6. So even though the flood came and it wiped away all external wickedness, the flood could not cleanse the human heart from sin. The heart was still wicked and an enmity against God. And so whether you receive the blessing or the curse, you share a common enmity against God. You see, there's a common misconception about Christianity. Some of us think that God's people are the good people, and the people out there in the world are the bad people. And because God's people are good, He loves them and He saves them. And because the people out there in the world are bad, He damns them and He condemns them. Let me tell you, that is not Christianity at all. Christianity says that whether you are God's people or the people who don't have God, you are all bad. Whether you are from the cursed line or the blessed line, it doesn't matter what family you're from, it doesn't matter what ethnicity you're from, it doesn't matter what language you speak, you are all bad. God is the one who is good, and He saves bad people in spite of their badness. We share a common humanity, we also share a common enmity against God, because the intentions of our heart are wicked from birth. We have a propensity away from God. We would rather not have God in our lives. That is the very nature of sin, a declaration of independence from Almighty God. And that problem was in both Shem's line as well as Ham's line. Now the story ends here, and we go home, we would be rather depressed. But there's something more in this story. Now notice we said that Peleg's line ends abruptly here in Genesis 10:25. And if all we have is Genesis 10, then we would be left without hope. But jump with me to the next chapter. Come with me to Genesis chapter 11, verse 10. Turn the page and look at what you find there. You find another genealogy. You find a second genealogy of Shem. And this genealogy traces the descendants of Peleg. It traces its descendants. Come with me to Genesis 11:18. When Peleg had lived 30 years, he fathered Reu. Then come with me all the way to Genesis 11:26. As you trace the descendants of Peleg all the way to this person called Terah, who fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now, if you are a Hebrew or a Jew, right now, you would sit up and you would do the dance of joy. Because Abram is here. And who is Abram? Abram would later become Abraham, the father of all the Jewish people. And it's through Abraham that God would reverse the effects of the fall and the curse. How? Come with me to Genesis 12, verse 2. Here we have Abraham hearing what God would do for him and his descendants. Genesis 12, verse 2. God says to Abraham, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. Blessing instead of curse. And I will bless those who bless you, and whom dishonors you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Do you see what's happening here? All the enemies, all the nations and families of the earth have been cursed because of sin. Here God is promising that through Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed. God here is promising Abraham by covenant that He will do something through Abraham that reverses the effects of sin and the fall and the curse and brings to the nations of the world the blessing of God. This too is a descendant of Shem. Now turn with me to the New Testament. Come with me to Matthew chapter 1 verse 17. And this is the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And Matthew 1:17 summarizes it this way. So all the generations from Abraham to David 14 generations. And from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the deportation to Babylon to the Christ, 14 generations. You see what Matthew has done? He has traced Abraham to David to the exile, and from the exile to Christ. Abraham, David, Babylon, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, was a descendant of Abraham, and hence of Peleg and Eber and Shem. So even though we all share a common humanity and we all share a common enmity against Almighty God, God here, through Jesus Christ, gives us a common opportunity to turn from our sin, be rid of the curse, and to be counted as one of His people. Come with me to Galatians chapter 3, and we'll draw our conclusion here. Galatians 3:7 says this: "It is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham." So who are the children of Abraham? Who are the true children of Abraham? Are they those descended by blood from Shem and Eber and Peleg and Joktan? No, no, no. Paul says, if you truly want to be a son of Abraham, it is those who have faith. Faith in who? Galatians 3:29. If you are Christ, if you belong to Christ by faith, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. Now what the Bible is telling us is this. You may all share a common humanity. You may all share a common enmity against God. But if you want to become one of the people of God, no matter what nation you're from, no matter what language you speak, no matter where you draw your heritage from, if you place your faith in Christ, who is a descendant of Abraham, you become an heir of Abraham. You become included into the chosen people of God. You become an heir of Shem. You become an heir of Eber. You become an heir of Peleg when you place your faith in Jesus Christ, who is their great descendant. Why? Because Christ was fully God and fully man. And therefore He shared a common humanity. But at the same time, He shared none of our enmity against God. He always did the will of the Father. He was perfect. But yet the Bible tells us that He bore the judgment of God against the curse that is upon us. Why? So that you and I may experience the blessing of God that was upon Him. And this blessing, my friends, is from people from every land, every language, every clan, and every nation. Because Jesus' body was broken and His blood was spilled for people from every land, every language, every clan, every nation who will turn from their sins and turn to Him as the Savior and Lord of every nation. Friends, if you here sense a bit of cultural homelessness, you don't know where you are, you're floating around, not very grounded in the world, come to Christ. Come to Christ and He will give you the heritage of the people of God. A people from every tongue, every tribe, every nation, every language that bow their knee and give their hearts to the great Savior who has taken away our sin and granted us a place in God's heart. Let's pray to Him.